And here's the reason why I want to speak to us, because many of us have seen Jesus. We've seen him at work. Many of us. We've seen him. I've seen Jesus. I want you to know that. I have seen him. I've seen the Lord Jesus. I've seen him. I've seen him in the lives of so many. I see him in you. The Encouraging
Word. That distinctive voice was the voice of Dr. Don Wilton. And if he talks about this affirmation we're about to launch into, you need to know we are here to affirm a complete and courageous life for you. Part of what we do is praying together for each other. If there's something we can pray for in your life, won't you let us know? Here on this Monday edition of The Encouraging Word, we're going to be talking about obedient courage. The sense of obedience is sometimes oppressive, but instead it can be freeing as we step into the obedience God calls us to and we receive the blessing. It's exciting. Know that we're here at 866-899-WORD to pray with you. That's 866-899-9673 or online at theencouragingword.org. The Encouraging Word. And now, Dr. Don Wilton.
Now, I'm going to ask you to look at an incredible passage of Scripture. We're in Acts chapter 8 and beginning at verse 26. This is a story about an encounter between two people. One of the people had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The other one did not. And then an encounter took place. So let me just read it to you. Verse 26 of the book of Acts and chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise up and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. So Philip rose up and he went. And there he found an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopian, who was this Ethiopian. He was in charge of all of her treasure. So he was not an insignificant man. He was a man with great responsibility. And he had come to Jerusalem to worship, and he was returning seated in his chariot and was reading the prophet Isaiah. Could you just all look at me just a second? Everybody went to Jerusalem to worship. Church was the kind of thing that you did. You ever been around someone who just wonderful people? Churches, that's what we do. We go to church. I've met many people that say, you know, that's the way I was born and raised. By the way, from the age of 6, I fell into that category. That's what we did. You know, it's the right thing to do. Go to church. This man went, he went to the temple. This was what you did. Now look what happened here. So he was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading this word. Remember, we are instructed by his word. He was reading specifically the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet. And so Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" So he invited Philip to come up and to sit with him. Now the passage of Scripture that he was reading was this one. "Like a sheep, he was led to the slaughter. Like a lamb before its shearer is silent, so he opens not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." By the way, you can read that yourself. It's in Isaiah 53 and verse 7 and 8. Isaiah 53 and verse 7 and 8. So this man, the Ethiopian eunuch in his chariot, he was just sitting there, riding along, coming back from Jerusalem. He'd been in worship. He did the right thing, and he opened the Scriptures, and he was reading Isaiah 53. Philip jumps into his chariot, says to him, Do you know, do you understand all that? He said, well, how can I? No, I don't. I don't understand this. If somebody doesn't tell me, how am I supposed to understand these things? Verse 34, so the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about the Lord Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized? By the way, have you been baptized? You need to be. I'll help you. We'll help you. That's why we're here. What prevents me from being baptized? So he commanded the chariot to stop. They both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Then they came back up out of the water. That's biblical baptism. Baptism by immersion. That's what Jesus did. He went down under the water. The water closed over him like death closes over us, over Jesus. Jesus was put in the grave and he died completely, but he didn't stay under the water because God raised him up to walk in newness of life. He brought him back from the grave. He conquered death. He defeated death. So when you give your heart to Jesus, baptism is exactly that. It's a picture. That's why we've got to do what Jesus told us to do. When you get into the water, you go under the water. I or another person will take you, put you under the water. The water closed, symbolizing, identifying with the death, burial, and then the resurrection raised up. We saw that at the beginning of our worship today with Rosa. What a beautiful picture. What an incredible picture. It's the most amazing celebration. This is exactly what happened here. So when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away. The eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. And of course, they intersected later on. I want to just speak to you a little bit about obedient courage. And here's the reason why I want to speak to us. Because many of us have seen Jesus. We've seen him at work. Many of us. We've seen him. I've seen Jesus. I want you to know that. I have seen him. I've seen the Lord Jesus. I've seen him. I've seen him in the lives of so many. I see him in you. Many of us have read about him. I have too. I've read all about Jesus. And many of us really believe in him. I do. I really believe in him. I've got all the ingredients. I've seen him. I know him. I've read about him. I have him living in my heart. But I'm going to tell you that I really battle to actually go and take him to people. It's easy in a way, if I can say this very lovingly, it's a lot easier. You might say, I'd rather, you know, die a thousand deaths than have to stand up there where you are. It's easier for me to stand here and talk to thousands of people by way of the Encouraging Word broadcast ministry and in our own beloved congregation in downtown Spartanburg. But I'll tell you, to get up or to walk over the road and go and talk to someone who doesn't know Jesus, now you're meddling. And there are a thousand times that I have not had the courage to do that.
Please forgive the interruption. We'll be back with so much more of Dr. Wilton's message in just a moment. But if you're in that battle, just like Dr. Don confessed, then one of the great joys of the body of Christ is we can move through that battle together. We can hold your arms up. We can lift you up through prayer. We're connecting right now online at theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org or this phone number. It's 866-899-9673. That's 866-899-9673. We'd love to connect with you and connect with resources that'll help grow your faith. Now let's dive back into today's message, Obedient Courage, with Dr. Don Wilton.
I want you to listen to something that happened to me. I'm just going to share a personal story because it happened right here in this city. And if you haven't heard this story, I'm just going to remind some of you. It's a wonderful story. This was the Monday after my first Sunday with you. So we're talking a long time ago. I was brand new. I didn't even know where Walmart was in our city. Had no clue. And my office here at the church was just boxes all over the place. Brand new, my wife and I and our three younger children had just answered God's call, moved here from the great city of New Orleans, Louisiana. And you were all just hearing my Louisiana accent for the first time. And I walked into my office on Monday morning, and the next minute, one of the most dearest, precious men I've ever met walked into my office. His name is Bill Adams, and I love Bill Adams. If you haven't met Bill Adams, you need to. Faithful servant, encourager. He and Miss Shirley, as precious as anybody could ever be, and she's in the presence of Jesus today. Well, Bill Adams walked into my office, negotiating all the boxes, just came to say hello, welcome, and he walked over, took me by the hand. He said, Dr. Wilton, in his wonderful southern accent, so glad you're here. And by the way, Pastor, would you pray with us for a certain gentleman? I said, well, you asking me to pray, a man of my caliber, for somebody? Who is it? He said, well, his name is Papa Sam, Sam Rhodes. I said, really? Well, tell me about this man. He said, well, if you open up the blind, the curtain of your office, and you look across down on St. John's, you'll see a little breakfast place down there called Papa Sam's. I said, yeah, I see that over there. He said, well, the man who owns that, his name is Sam Rhodes. He's affectionately known as Papa Sam. And he said, you know, he's someone well known, but he doesn't know Jesus. There's no relationship with Jesus. We've been praying for him for years and for years and for years that he would give his heart to Jesus. Now, I want to just tell you something, folks. I wish that I could tell you that this was natural me. But God taught me a lesson on the first day that I was privileged to be loved by you. I can't explain it to you, but I turned to Bill Adams and I said to him, Brother Bill, really? You've been praying for him for how? He said, oh, years and years and years. I said, well, come on, let's go. Boy, we went marching out of my office all the way down the elevator, across the parking lot, up and down like this, down onto St. John. There was no Barnett Parks or nothing else was there. It was just bush and dense jungle and everything else back in those days. And I just went down there and just walked into this place, and Bill Adams was trying to keep up with me. As we got to the door, Bill turned to me and he said, now, notwithstanding Sam is a fine man, he don't like preachers. I said, well, thank you very much. Thanks for telling me that, you know. This is like inviting me to have a personal conversation with a Rottweiler, you know. I mean, this is getting worse and worse. Well, we walked in there and you'll remember, Bill, he was standing right there at the doorway, and as my memory serves me, he was a big man, and he had on these kind of overall type things, and he had his fingers in the straps, and Bill said, Sam, this is our new pastor. It's like, would you like a meal now, or you want to eat him and gobble him alive later on? Folks, could you understand, I'm the new kid on the block here, and I'm nervous, my heart is up here. I can only tell you God had something to do with this, because I looked at this man, never met him before, didn't know him, I'd never been into that place. And I said to him, Mr. Rhodes, could we meet somewhere privately? He looked spluttered, looked down at me. He said, sure, over here. I didn't do this. I can't explain it to you. It's like I just walked straight past him, went into his office. I sat in his chair and invited him to sit down. When he sat down, I turned to him. I didn't know what to say. What do you say? And I turned to him and I said to him, Sam, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? He looked at me, looked at Bill Adams. He looked back at me. He began to seemingly look like he was tearing up, and he said, I sure do, preacher. I didn't know what to do. I reached into my jacket pocket. I was looking for notes. What was my next point? Where do I go? Which is the next verse? How am I going to say this properly? I looked over at Bill Adams. I said, well, amen, Bill. And Bill said to me, well, amen back to you. And I said, well, amen to you and amen back. And we went amen backing and forth. And finally, I didn't know what to say. And we were all standing there. So then I said to him, well, Sam, why don't we just get down on our knees? You don't ask a big man like that. I mean, he got down on his knees with us like this. And I said to him, Sam, why don't you just tell Jesus all about it? Folks, you never ask a man who hasn't spent a lot of time praying just to have a public prayer. Or so I thought. And he began to pray the most discombobulated, mixed up, not in order, didn't have any kind of... It just began to flow from this man's heart. And in between what he was saying were what I would call not entirely the most savory use of language that you would use. Not overtly bad, but just conversational, not the best kind of language. And it, the first time it came out of his mouth, I was like this. Have you ever seen a peeping preacher? And the first time I heard blankety blank come out, I went like this. And I looked over at Bill Adams and I caught him. He was looking at me. And I said, amen, amen. And Bill said, amen. I realized after a while I was amening unsavory language. He would say something and then I would cover, because I was the pastor. I'd, amen, amen, amen. Like God would forgive him right there on the spot. And you know what? That's exactly what God was doing. I tell you, when that precious man got up from his feet, the tears were flowing and God was in the house, and it was something I couldn't even begin to imagine. And that Wednesday night, we had a prayer service in the dining hall of First Baptist Church in Spartanburg, and the place was filled with people. And I was the brand new pastor. This was my first Wednesday, and I had to impress everybody at the church, and all I did was at the end was to close it, and I got up on that rickety little pulpit area down there in the dining hall, and I leant up against it, and I thought, now I've got to say something to impress these people. And I said it. I said, just before we close tonight, I wonder if there's anyone here who would have a word of testimony to share with us. And all of a sudden, in the back road, Sam Rhodes stood up and started to come down the aisle, and I went into a state of panic. I wanted to say to him, excuse me, you go back to your seat right now, this minute. Nobody in a Baptist church comes forward unless we're singing Just As I Am. I don't even hear the instrumentalist. Steve Skinner is silent there. You go back right now. Don't come, don't come, don't come. He came all the way up to the platform and he leant against that pulpit, and I knew he was going to do it. And he leant on that pulpit, and many of you were there, and he said, I just want to tell you, I can't thank you enough for praying for me. I can't thank you enough for this preaching, Bill Adams, coming to my place, because I gave my heart to Jesus, and I want you to know I have never felt so blankety blank good in all my life. I came around, I said, Bill Adams did it. Bill Adams did it. And I could just see the newspaper, the Spartanburg Herald Journal, with headlines that said, new pastor of First Baptist Church terminated the first week. Well, it wasn't too long after that that this beloved man lay on his deathbed. And just before he died, he said to Bill Adams, Bill, I want you to make sure you go back to that pastor and just say thank you, because this last stretch of my life since I gave my heart to Jesus have been the most wonderful of my entire life. He said, I want you to know something, because I gave my heart to Jesus, I'm about to go to heaven. And he did. That's what happened here. Look at what happened here, folks. First of all, we can affirm that God does direct. God does. God points. God directs. He's the commander in chief. Angel of the Lord came to this man, said, I want you to walk the parking lot. Go and make a visit. I want you to walk over the street. I want you to sit down with that person that works with you. God does direct. He always does that because it's the work of the Holy Spirit. God, by His Spirit, goes ahead of us. You know that. I know that. I believe it. That's why you're listening right now. That's why you're here. Here's this Ethiopian and Jerusalem and the temple, and he's on a chariot and he's on a dusty road. And here's Philip. And God brings all of these little circumstances and he brings them together for his divine purpose. Have you found yourself many times, which we all have, in saying, you know, I would never have thought it, but I'm just so glad that I went. You know, and how many times do we even say that when it comes to church? I'll guarantee you there's at least one person sitting in church today that, quite frankly, you did not feel like being here today. Of course not. Lots of reasons why you don't feel. You could not sleep properly. You could be not feeling too good. You could have had too many other things. We could unload every reason. And then you come and you're in this place, you're in worship, you're in that life group, you're sitting right there in the right place at the right time, and you look back and you just know God intended for you to be there. That's you, my friend. That's why you are listening today. This is not just let's go to the temple in Jerusalem because it's the right thing to do or the proper thing to do. It is God engaged in your life because He loves you. This is according to His purpose. Questions do matter. They do matter. It just absolutely intrigues me when Philip gets there and he sees this man and then he asks the question. And what a simple question. Do you understand what you're reading? What a great question. We ask that question about everything and anything in life. How much more so when it comes to the things that are of eternal significance? My favorite question, and I want to encourage you today, make your first question always, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Try to do that. Because you can ask any person, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Any person who knows Jesus will never have a struggle responding to that. And it will tell you exactly where to go next. And here it is. Here we find God's servant, Philip, being obedient, being courageous, following through, just doing what God told him to do. And here's this man reading the scriptures. Do you understand that? Well, actually, no, I don't. Would you explain it to me? Would you like me to tell you about Jesus? And it's very interesting to me. He was in Isaiah in the Old Testament, and Philip immediately takes him from the content, the zero point, and he puts him right there on the only person who could save him, Jesus. I am complete and courageous in Christ Jesus. He's the one. I'm saved by His grace. It's at the name of Jesus that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. My consternation personally, this is a personal thing, is how many people have I missed because I've lacked the courage of my obedience? There must be countless numbers of people that I have passed by that I haven't stopped and spoken to because I don't have the courage of my obedience. And God is speaking to me and I'm asking the Lord to so compel me. You know, I don't mean to be lighthearted in this manner, but I've often thought to myself, what is the worst thing somebody could do to me if I asked them, would you like to give your heart to Jesus? Can I tell you what the worst thing they could do to me? Pull out a gun and shoot me dead. And if that's the worst thing that can happen to me, it's the single greatest thing if I am crucified with Christ. If to live to me is Christ, and dying is gain, I don't seek that. But if that is the worst thing as a believer, it's the very reason why I'm asking a person if they'd give their heart to Jesus. Because it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. Questions do matter. You know, here he is in verse 32 and verse 33, reading from Psalm 53, and God's word stands, because this is God's inerrant, infallible word. It is truth without error. This is truth in a world in which people are desperately seeking truth. They're trying to hunt it down. They're looking everywhere to try and find out the relevancy. Why do I exist? What's my purpose? What am I doing here? Where am I going? There's got to be more than life. I need truth in my heart. And the Word of God inspires me, because God's Word is absolute truth. And God tells me who He is and how I can become reconciled to Him, even though I am a sinner separated from Him. This is good news.
He does change lives, and that change starts with your commitment, your affirmation, your openness, just like I did, just like Dr. Don did, to say, okay, God, I realize my sin has separated me from You. If you'd like, you can pray with me right now. If God has stirred your heart to give your life to Him, let's do it right now. Lord God, I realize I am a sinner and my sin has separated me from You. But today, Lord, I affirm with my mouth, I believe You are the Son of God. I believe You went to the cross and died for my sins. So I ask You, Lord, to save me. In Jesus' name I pray. You know, sometimes if your heart is trying to get those words together, you just need to say, me too, me too. Let us talk with you. Let us pray with you. We're connecting right now at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or let's get connected keyboard to keyboard on our website, theencouragingword.org. That's theencouragingword.org. And I mentioned resources. Here are some of the resources that are available right now.
Across America, there are different views on when life begins and when it should end. What do you believe? What does the Bible say? When does life really begin? Join Dr. Wilton as he teaches biblical truths with compassion straight from God's Word in his classic and timely message, The Sanctity of Human Life. Plus, you will receive two bonus gifts, Why Pro-Life and Counterculture in a World of Abortion. These powerful ministry resources will help equip you with the facts to see life through the lens of God's Word. Request The Sanctity of Human Life, a classic and timely message on CD, and the bonus gifts for your gift of any amount to The Encouraging Word today. Write to us at Post Office Box 2110, Spartanburg, South Carolina, 29304, or call us toll-free at 866-899-WORD, or visit online at theencouragingword.org. Thank you for your support as we continue to proclaim God's truth around the world.
That's all for today, but we're connecting all the time online at theencouragingword.org. And be sure to tune in tonight at 6:30 Eastern on TBN, the Trinity Broadcast Network, for the video version of The Encouraging Word with Dr. Don Wilton.